In the ancient Vedas, it says that the part of us that doesn't believe in death will never die. This simple definition of the soul is not a bad one. It accurately describes everyone's secret belief that death may be real for some, but not for us. Psychologists are impatient with this feeling of personal immortality. They claim that we use it to defend ourselves against the inescapable fact that one day we will die. But what if the opposite is true? What if feeling immortal and beyond death is the most real thing about us? To prove this point, one way or another, we need facts, just as we needed them about God. The soul is as mysterious as God, and we have just as few reliable facts about it. The soul is not really as personal as people believe. The soul doesn't feel or move. It doesn't travel with you as you go about your life, nor does it endure birth, decay, and death. This is just a way of saying that the soul stands apart from ordinary experience. Since it also has no shape, getting a mental picture of the soul isn't possible. The soul is really a junction point between time and the timeless. It faces in both directions. When I experience myself in the world, I'm not experiencing my soul, yet it is somewhere on the periphery. There is no doubt that we sense its presence, however vaguely. But it would be a mistake to think that the soul and the person are the same. My grandfather was an old man with thinning hair, prone to enthusiasm and fierce in his love for us. I have very powerful memories of him, yet all his qualities and all my memories have nothing to do with his soul. Those qualities died with him, his soul did not. So the soul is like a carrier of the essence. But what is that essence like? If I can't experience my soul as an emotion, if everything I know about myself since birth is separate from my soul, it must not be a material thing. The soul begins at the quantum level, which makes sense since the quantum level is also our doorway to God. To go through this door isn't something we choose. Participation is mandatory. In India, the soul has two parts. One is called Jiva, which corresponds to the individual soul making its long journey through many lifetimes until it reaches full realization of God. When a child is taught that being good means your soul will go to heaven, it is Jiva that we are talking about. Jiva is involved in action. It is affected by our good and bad acts. It rules our conscience, and all the seeds of karma are planted inside it. The kind of person you turn out to be is rooted in Jiva, and the kind of life you make for yourself will change Jiva day by day. The second half of the soul, called Atman, does not accompany us on any journey. It is pure spirit, made of the same essence as God. Atman cannot change in any way. It never reaches God because it never left in the first place. No matter how good or bad your life, your Atman remains constant. In fact, the worst criminal and the holiest saint have the same quality of soul when it is this aspect that is in question. There is no good approximation for Atman in the West, and many people might wonder why the soul has to be divided in this way. We have seen that all the familiar qualities of life, such as time, space, energy, and matter, gradually fade into a shadowy existence until they disappear. But this disappearance leaves something intact, spirit itself. Jiva lives at the quantum level, Atman at the virtual. So the faintest, subtlest trace of me that can be detected at the quantum level is Jiva. And once it disappears, pure spirit remains. That is Atman. The distinction between them is absolutely necessary, for otherwise the path back to God would break down. You need Jiva to remember who you are personally. You need Atman to remember yourself as pure spirit. You need Jiva to have a reason to act, think, wish, and dream. You need Atman for the peace beyond all action. You need Jiva to journey through time and space. You need Atman to live in the timeless. You need Jiva to preserve personality and identity. You need Atman to become universal, beyond identity. As you can see, even though they are melded together as soul, These two aspects are exact opposites in many ways. Such is the paradox of the soul, that it manages to accommodate itself to our world of time, thought, and action, while dwelling eternally in the spiritual world. The soul must be half human, half divine, in order to give us a way to retain our identity during all the prayer, meditation, seeking, and other spiritual work that is involved in finding God. And yet the soul must have a divine aspect that embodies the goal of all seeking.